Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts from 970 ESPN and Steelers Nation Radio, David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just a couple of Daves chilling, talking Steelers. Now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave. He's Dave Bryan at SteelersDepot.com, the place to get your latest and greatest Steelers information. I'm David Todd of ESPN Pittsburgh and the Steelers Radio Network. It's Season 6, Episode 82. And, well, the calendar NFL year hasn't come to a close. The NFL season came to a close yesterday, Dave, in Santa Clara, California, as the Denver Broncos defensively really put it on the Carolina Panthers. Von Miller, DeMarcus Ware, and crew went after and got to Cam Newton. Two strip sacks, really the difference in the game as the Broncos win 24-10 in a game that was, I guess, engaging but not particularly well played is how I would describe it.
Yeah, and I threw this out to my followers on Twitter, David, you know, asking was this more of a defensive game or one that lacked or exhibited poor offense, and I got a lot of yeses back.
Right.
You can tell they listened to the podcast, right?
Yes.
Because that's probably the correct answer, is it not? I think we expect, or at least I did. I expected this to be a Super Bowl kind of dominated by good defensive play, but there wasn't a whole heck of a lot of good offensive play, to talk about here as well. On top of when you consider that, man, Carolina sure did like to shoot themselves in the foot early. Jericho Cotchery, a guy that I was really, really rooting for to get a Super Bowl ring on his way out the door, really had a bad game. Couple early drops in there. Had one later on along the sideline with Von Miller in coverage. That, while that was a good play by Von Miller, that's a ball that a receiver has to come up with, in my opinion. And really, you kind of hit it on the head at the beginning there. The difference in this game was two strip sacks and a punt return, right?
Yeah, pretty much. Obviously you get a defensive touchdown early. That's not only is that imposing, it, puts in Cam's mind that, they might be coming after me the whole game. So, yeah, that was a big deal. The punt return, the longest in Super Bowl history, 61 yards, which is a surprising stat in 50 games. It hadn't been a longer one than that. And then, obviously sealing the deal at the end.
Yeah, I threw this out on Twitter. I got one response, and I haven't had time to track it down yet. Do you has there ever been a winning Super Bowl team that has only converted one third down during the game? And somebody replied back to me that they thought the Chiefs did it way back in, one of the early Super Bowls against the Minnesota Vikings there, which would make sense in a game, where passing the football was kind of, not what it is in today's game. But, man, the Broncos, 1 of 14 on third downs. David, if I would have told you, and this is something else that I threw out there on Twitter, as well, and I think it was halfway through the third quarter, or right there in the start of the third quarter, the Broncos had 16 points at the time, and I think had only converted one third down. If I guaranteed you before the game that was going to be the case, you would probably tell me that the Panthers are winning this game, right?
Yep, picked it 31-16, so I would have been right on the Broncos side of things, but. Obviously, we can relate this all back to the Steelers and what's going on, but as much as it's nice to have good cornerbacks, man, if you can get to the quarterback, it's all the difference in the world. And, people, scream bloody murder when the Steelers don't take corners early, but there's a reason they keep looking for these guys off the edge, because if you find a Von Miller, or if you're fortunate enough to get a DeMarcus Ware, or lo and behold, two of them, it's – it's hell on the quarterbacks, and you see it, and that's why I had the conversation about Jalen Smith of Notre Dame, whether you think he's an inside guy or an outside guy. It's just, if you have elite level talent, you just don't get that. You don't get that at 25 in the draft. And so finding these types of guys, and you know, Denver's got some tough decisions to make here. Derek Wolfe, they've already re-signed, but Malik Jackson, Von Miller, free agents, Trefethen's a free agent. They got a lot of guys, and they're probably not going to be able to pay all of them. I mean, they've got Osweiler as well. So if you assume Von Miller gets paid, it's going to be interesting, and assume Osweiler gets paid, it's going to be interesting to see who else is on that list.
Yeah, you have to think Von Miller is going to get the tag and then a long-term deal worked out from there. But, you know, that's going to take time to do and thus some cap space to eat up along the way. I think it's safe to say that Peyton Manning's not going to be back, you know, so they'll lose that salary against the cap as well, too. Malik Jackson's a guy that they probably should be prepared to lose. Although, you know, if you get you got some time to get put it to you this way, he's probably going to hit free agency regardless because you only have one tag that you can throw out there as well too. And you know, we talk constantly about, you know, pressure versus secondary and man, I mean, if you just go back through the years, you know, there have been some Super Bowl teams that have been great at winning teams that have been great at getting pressure that haven't had the sexiest group of defensive backs that have won Super Bowls. And bless you. And
thank you.
Most definitely want to give props to the Broncos secondary, talking about Tlaib, talking about Harris. Bradley Roby had a heck of a game, in the Super Bowl as well. But man, if the opposing quarterback is rushed and on the run for most of the game, you know, you don't really need stars back there on the back end. And one of the stats that kind of stuck out this morning that I read from ESPN Stats and Info, Cam Newton was blitzed 25 times, the second most blitzes faced in Super Bowl history. So they were getting after him for sure, and then when you throw on top of it that Cam Newton had 10 overthrown passes in the game, which tied for the most in a game in Super Bowl history, you know, those two things added together, along with the fact that they didn't run the football all that great, you know, really shows you all you need to know. You know, you got to get pressure after the quarterback, although you'd like to get it with four. If you have to blitz, you have to blitz. And that's exactly what Wade Phillips did. He went after Cam Newton.
Yeah, they did, and they were successful doing it. And so then the question is, what could Carolina have done to counteract that? Should they have kept more guys in? Was it a blocking scheme, or you needed guys in the pattern because the guys who were out there couldn't get open to begin with? I mean, it's easy to second guess this whole thing, but those guys just were dominant guys off the edge and were able to get things done. And, you know, I don't want to say Peyton did enough, because Peyton didn't really do anything. I mean, you know, the opening drive was impressive. He went down the field before stalling in the red zone, but, you know, they weren't particularly good offensively the rest of the game. They ran the ball a little bit. C.J. Anderson had a decent game, Dave, but you know, kudos to Carolina's defense. They played pretty well as well.
Yeah, they did. And when you figure they only gave up realistically the one touchdown, but even that was after a late turnover there. So, you know, the Carolina Panthers have nothing to really hang their head about here. You know, their offense, you know, gave up the early strip sack for a touchdown, and then of course that late in the game there, you know, you give the Broncos a short field in that situation. It's kind of tough to keep the team out of the end zone. So there were, throughout the game, the Panthers, you know, even into the fourth quarter, the Panthers had several opportunities to as poorly as their offense had played, to get back in this thing, and they just couldn't do it. And I think it was you know, evidence there at near the end where Kubiak was just, you know, glad to kind of run the football on third down.
Well, wasn't that crazy? It just, you know, just don't turn it over.
Yeah, I mean, you could would Tomlin have done that?
No, he would have thrown the ball. And, I give Phil Simms credit for making the call, and he was right. He said, look, they're content to just do this because they don't think – and the score was, 16-10? He said they don't think they can go down the field. You can go down the field, score a touchdown, you lose the game. And he said, they don't think they can do it. And he was dead on. They ran it three times. They punted. And they got another turnover.
That sure is a lot of confidence in your defense. It's not like they just all of a sudden started playing better during the playoffs either. I mean, this is a Broncos defense that all season long has been good. I think did you see that stat of the teams that have gone to the Super Bowl that ended the regular season leading in total team defense, all but one won the Super Bowl, and there was a list of something like 10 or 11 teams, made it to the Super Bowl after leading the regular season in total team defense, and the Seahawks were the only team not to win the Super Bowl after making it that far. So that defense was good all season long, as was the Panthers, and the difference, as we started off saying, was the early turnover and the late turnover there, for sure. Did Cam Newton just kind of seem really flustered right from the get-go?
The thing that surprised me is on the sack that Von Miller was able to get the ball out. On the very, the very first sack that led to the touchdown, you see he's coming from the open side. You assume that Cam has a sense of where he is, and then Von Miller is able to rip it out from him, and obviously that's a game changing play. You just don't see guys rip the ball out from Cam Newton in that type of situation. He had both hands on it. Von Miller was able to rip it out.
And this is a Panthers offensive line that really hadn't played awful, throughout. Throughout the season, probably not many of us could run through and name all five of the names on the line there, but man, they had to do something to help that poor right tackle over there, because there was another stat I think that when they sent both do you remember what it was when they sent both Von Miller and DeMarcus Ware, what was Cam Newton's? Oh, here it is.
Cam Newton 12, both, right?
Yeah, Cam Newton, when both Von Miller and DeMarcus Ware rushed the passer, 1 of 12, 4 sacks, 2 fumbles, and Carolina lost 33 total yards. And, we kind of talked one of the key things heading into this game, X factors, if you would be really how that Panthers offensive line played, not only in the running game, but in the passing game, and they certainly didn't pass the test. I think the Broncos' plan was to stack that box and dare Cam Newton to throw, and betting that he couldn't, and he didn't, and that was the difference in the game. What'd you think about the last fumble there with Cam Newton, kind of making a business decision there?
Yeah, I didn't understand what he was thinking. I'd like to hear his answer before I rip him, but it looked like there was an opportunity to get the ball, and whatever you want to say, he did. He then later did actually get his hands on the football eventually. So it looks curious is all I'll say.
What did you think about his post game? There's going to be a lot written and talked about today, and I don't know if you'll even touch it on your show today, but what did you think about his overall demeanor? It's a big loss, losing
like,
a Super Bowl like that.
He looked like Colin Kaepernick, and he's, if you want all the attention in the good times, I think you have an obligation to be there in the bad times and present yourself in a better fashion. Like, look, you can't say anything bad about Cam without getting attacked now, and I think we've dealt with Cam very fairly. I think Cam's a great player, deserving of the NFL MVP. I've always been in his corner. I think he's fun to watch. But when you lose, I just expect better from a guy who's a team leader out there. So I don't know exactly what went on. I've seen some clips of it today. I will tell you honestly, as soon as the game ended, I turned it off, went to bed. I didn't want to watch 2 hours of coverage after watching 4 hours of football. So I do know what happened. And there's Chris Harris was in the background, maybe saying something that was you know, talking about throwing the football. Who knows? But I just would expect better. Yeah, you can be disappointed.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I mean, you have you know going into that you're going to have media obligations after this thing on the podium, probably 5 minutes at best, at the least or you know round in there. Why not just filibuster? You know, give them cliche answers. You don't have to love being up there for sure, but I thought he could have done a better job of that. And are the questions stupid? Yes. Are you asked the same thing, you know, a dozen different times? Absolutely. But you're right. If you're gonna want the limelight and run out there with MVP shoes and all the things that he does, and make no mistake, I like Cam Newton. I thought he was good for the game this year. I don't have a problem with what he does. You know, after scoring, I could probably do without with any team for that matter. I've never been a big fan of pointing at first downs and all like that. After that, you know, get in the end zone and then do your celebrating there. But you know, I like Cam for the most part. But I thought he really really handled that that post game awful.
Yeah.
So now the Steelers need defense in the first round of draft, right? And an outside linebacker.
yeah, they're going. You know, what's interesting is you look at the three games, and I don't think you can definitively say the Steelers had the best chance of winning the three teams, but certainly the Steelers and New England both had good chances to beat Denver, much better than Carolina had. I mean, New England converts a 2-point conversion; it's a tie game at the end. The Steelers obviously are going to point back to the fumble and kind of the late score. I saw some people talking about the yards the Steelers got against the Broncos defense. And look, they tore them up in the second half of their first matchup. And if I remember correctly, Dave, correct me if I'm wrong here, DeMarcus Ware didn't play in that game, did he?
One of them he didn't, right?
He didn't play in the first one. And right. And then, you know, the Steelers got 300, Ben passed for 339 in the second game, the playoff game. But they did get, you know, 60 of those yards, you know, down 10 points with, you know, seconds to go. So, you know, we talk about garbage time on the other side. That's a little bit of the garbage time stat. But the Steelers showed that they, you know, they certainly showed more so than any other team this season that they could move the ball against the Broncos, and they passed it effectively. And I think it's in hindsight, it's a credit to the offensive line, the job they did in those two games to keep Ben generally upright and, you know, not get dominated like New England and Carolina's offensive lines got dominated.
Well, I mean, even if the Steelers lose, and look, there's a good chance they could lose Ramon Foster during this offseason. You know, that's something that's going to be tough to replace. Will they do it internally with Chris Hubbard or drawing a blank here, the undrafted
BJ
free
Finney.
Agent? Yeah, BJ Finney. Whether or not, you know, those two guys or whether or not they get a guy, a plug-and-play guy in the draft. The thing is, where this team drafts 25th overall is kind of in that no-man's land area, right, where you're almost, you know, not that they're
you ain't getting
not
a guaranteed Pro Bowler. You're not getting a guaranteed Pro Bowler.
Yeah, you're right. You're down in not, and we've seen this team, and I'm sure Kevin Colbert will talk about this several times. We talk about it every year about a player we want, not a player we need. You know, or not a position of need. They're certainly going to be down in that area where they're going to have to look long and hard about maybe who the best available player is on the board, and then, of course, kind of weigh that out versus need. You know, would you, if you're sitting there with a you know, one of the top-rated tackles and maybe the top-rated safety on the board, and you may have the tackle rated, you know, a couple of points higher than the safety, then you know, by all means, you're probably going to want this team to draft the safety, right?
Yeah, I mean, look, at this point, I'm almost to the view that you just take the best defensive player you can. And like we said the other day, they needed it at every, you know, there's not a position defensively where you say, okay, we got everything we need. So whether it's, I'd be surprised if they went nose tackle, but whether it's defensive end, either of the linebacker positions, corner or safety, you're open to all of them, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't think you're going to hurt anybody's feelings out there that listens to this podcast if this team drafts defense in the first round. How you would prioritize those positions, I guess it depends on how you ask. The thing is, though, generally, 25th overall, there's probably already going to be three or maybe even four cornerbacks off the board. So are you going to draft a cornerback for the sake of drafting a cornerback, even though, you're probably dealing with one that probably best suited to go maybe in the second, in other words, you're going to lose value there, or are you going to, get an edge rusher, maybe a guy like Leonard Floyd out of Georgia is there, and I'm just throwing out names here. I don't like the chances of a guy like Noah Spence being there. I think that would be ideal if you could get a guy like Noah Spence to fall down to you there. Right. But here's the bad thing, though. That's normally where we talk about being kind of that nowhere man's land for guards. Something along those areas. I guess as we sit here today, I wouldn't be shocked if the Steelers took a guy like Josh Garnett out of Stanford with, that 25th overall pick, and especially if they lost a guy like Ramon Foster. I think we can rule out wide receiver, right?
We can rule out wide receiver. I think we can rule out running back.
And we can rule out quarterback. We can pretty much rule out – I think we can rule out – I don't know. I think it's – even though we both want to, can we really rule out tackle or not? I think we can.
Yeah, I'd rule it out, yeah.
Center too? True center?
Yes.
All right. So those are five position, of course, punter and kicker and everything that goes along with that. So, that pretty much narrows you down to what? Tight end, guard, and – any position on defense side of the ball. Although, and I've said this several times, I'm going to go ahead and rule cornerback out on my board. So, and I know you like the kid out of Notre Dame, the inside linebacker.
You're going to rule corner out Mackenzie Alexander if he was there at 25. You'd rule him out.
I'm not convinced he's going to be there, David. I mean, so early on in this stage. Yeah, I'm not a big Eli. I like Eli Apple. I think, in what I've seen so far, I kind of view him more of as maybe a second round guy. I'll have to watch more on Alexander. But if the guy's worth the salt, you would think he's going to go in that top 20, right?
I think the two guys. What, Jalen Ramsey goes top 5 to 7 picks, and then you got the two guys from Florida, one from Florida State, one from Florida, right? They go to the top. And then it's, Mackenzie Alexander probably is the next corner off the board.
Yeah, Hargraves. You would think Hargraves.
Yeah.
And the other cornerback. Ramsey are going to go top 20 easily,
yeah.
You would think.
I think they'd probably go top 10, both of them.
who's number three, four?
I think it's the two we just mentioned, Alexander and Apple.
Yeah, and I think Apple might be a little bit overrated. So, Mackenzie Alexander, you would kind of think that he would be off the board by 25. It certainly would. There would be, I'm sure, Steelers fans, hitting the roof if he was still on the board at 25. But definitely, safety. I mean, is this team willing to take a safety in the first round for the first time since? Troy Polamalu was the pick. You really have to like Darian Thompson and his work so far. I think the other kid that got a lot of talk, Cash out of Duke. I think people are going to realize that he's really more of a box player than anything else. I think kind of Sua Cravens, the linebacker / safety out of USC. He really played a lot in the box the last couple years, too. Now, there is some tape on him his freshman year playing on the back end, and that's one thing that that teams are really going to have to look at are both Cash and Cravens kind of true guys that you know can play on the back end and in the box as far as safety goes. But you know, how many times have we seen that you know the top three, you know, two or three safeties everybody think are slam dunks to go in the first round usually filter on down into the second. And I think that's kind of going to be the case here. Do you subscribe to the theory that the closer to the football team should go? In other words, you know,
yeah,
guys,
yeah,
get out,
you know,
get out.
I you know, I understand where it's coming from. Let me go back and ask you the question that's, you know, still relevant. I said, you know, while we might not look at it as position of need, and some people feel like, you know, one of the reasons somebody shot this down and said you can't eventually pay to it, then if the Steelers could get Malik Jackson for a deal similar to Cam Hayward, would you consider doing that?
Well, yeah, I think so. But, I mean, that it's going to be more than Hayward. It has to be more than Hayward, right?
Probably maybe $1 million more a year. I'd have to look at it. Cam's making, what, $8.5 million a year or something like that?
Oh, no, Cam's making more than that. I mean, the 11 or 12, right?
I don't remember.
I'm trying to remember. I even drew up that contract, and I can't remember new money versus old money here. He is average of new money nearly 10.5.
Okay.
So you'd have to think that, man, Malik Jackson is going to be 12 and a half. What's the franchise tag on that position? I mean, that's probably what you're.
It's about what it is, right?
Yeah, that's probably what you're going to probably be looking at, even though they're not going to be able to franchise him. It is, wow, projected franchise tag, 15.494. He ain't going to get that, I don't think, but he might get 13, right?
Well, that's a bit, you know, probably prices him out of the Steelers' range.
Yeah, Pirates too.
Pirates, yeah, well, yep, absolutely out of the Pirates.
You know, look, I mean, you know how you can structure these things. You give them a decent size signing bonus that you can stretch out over 5 years. A guy like Jackson, you know, you can make his first year a base salary $1 million that really makes your first year kind of salary cap hit affordable. The thing is, at some point, you know, by years two and three, that cap number, you know, becomes something, one of your top ones on your roster there. So they have their guys in Tuitt and Cameron Hayward. So no, I mean, would I mind him on the team? Absolutely not. Is it going to happen? Absolutely not. Same thing goes for a guy like, what, Muhammad Wilkerson with the Jets as well, too. So, if you know, we'll see how this team spins during, you know, a tax-free agency. You know, there's a guy, there's that guy over there on the Jets, you know, that Alex Cazor talked about several times during the season that the Steelers should have traded, you know, Dree Archer in a seventh round pick for that backup defensive end of theirs. So, you know, maybe that's a guy that you kind of can go after during free agency. Outside of that, when you look at the free agent true 3-4 defensive ends, just not many out there that you can really see the Steelers going after. So, no, yeah, it's probably a position that if you don't do that, you're going to have to get in the first four or five rounds. I did break. I don't know if you saw, David, after the Senior Bowl, you know, there was a lot of talk about Jihad Ward out of Illinois, and that's one of the guys that I've already profiled, done a draft profile up on Steelers Depot. A very interesting specimen, definitely looks the part as far as a 3-4 defensive end goes, especially one that plays the 5 and the 4 technique and the 3 as well, too, in kind of nickel situations. But, you know, even though he has a size, he kind of has, you know, better athleticism for a guy of his size. He doesn't jump out on tape, you know, at you. Watched 3 full games of his. Played against some nice competition in the Big Ten, of course, in Illinois. Probably better against the run than he is, well, most definitely than he is against the pass. Really not a lot of counters, not a big impact as a pass rusher the last two seasons. You remember, this is a kid that transferred, was a junior college transfer a couple years ago. So it's evident he needs a lot of coaching at the NFL level. Not a guy that if you drafted him is going to come in and give you instant snaps on a defensive side of football. I kind of calculated him as being a fourth or fifth round guy. You know, of course, I'm just starting to scratch a list on these three, four defensive end types here as well, too. So if you're going to get a guy that's going to come in that you expect to make an instant impact, one would think you're going to have to get him in the first three rounds, right?
Yep.
And this team has a lot of needs across the board on the defensive side of the football there. So I hope to be breaking down more of these guys along with the rest of the guys on Steelers Depot here moving forward. But I don't know if we have.
McCoy making a little news.
Yeah, boy, I hate to hear. Hope all that's not true. And why does a guy like that not get arrested?
So I couldn't tell because it said Sunday at 2:30 a.m. Does that mean it was yesterday or does it mean it was this morning?
I would think Sunday at 2 a.m. would be before the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I would have thought so too. But I mean, the way they're then why didn't that story come out for 24 hours? I'm just curious it sounded like, at least if you read the story literally, it happened at Sunday at 2:30 a.m., which means it happened Saturday night. And and so we're hearing the story this morning. For those who didn't see it, he and a friend apparently assaulted two off-duty police officers who ended up in the hospital. So it sounds like there was a fight, but nobody's been arrested, which is also interesting.
That's a fight's when two people partake. That sounds like
a brawl.
That sounds like an ass whooping.
Yeah,
you get my drift there. Yeah, you hate to see that. You know, we'll wait and see what more comes out of this. If you had, you know, people been after us to talk about draft, David. So as we sit here, one day removed from Super Bowl 50. If you had to point to the fence and say what position the Steelers will draft at 25th overall, what would it be?
Are you asking me?
Yeah.
Well, I'll go back to saying the same thing. I mean, I know nobody's going to agree with this, but get me somebody who can get to the quarterback. If they gave me a dominant edge rusher, I'd still take him.
Now, what would you do? What will it be?
Oh, I think they're going to go corner. I do. I think I'll preface that. I think they're going to go defensive backfield.
I'm going to anger a lot, but my initial guesstimate will be offensive line, a guard.
Wow.
I look. It's just it's just where you are in the first round there. You know, I guess I could see safety, being a possibility. But how many times have I already said during this offseason, I'm not going to let myself mock them a cornerback in the first round, and especially now that they picked 25th overall. You just down there in that area. I could maybe see a defensive end. You know, if there's a true. One of the top, three, four defensive ends on the board at the time. But if sitting here right now, one day removed from the Super Bowl, I'm going to guess that they go guard, and that'll upset everybody. It's not what I would do, but I'm just kind of throwing that out there as an early guesstimate there.
Anything else from the broadcast that you thought was interesting? I mean, Peyton plugging Papa John's and Budweiser right at the end there.
Yeah, Papa John's and Budweiser. That I hope he had some toilet paper. is it legal for? I mean, not legal. I mean, is it for players to promote alcohol?
Sure, he's an adult.
I mean, yeah, I thought that was kind of frowned upon, though.
All I know is Budweiser said they didn't pay him to do that. I was reading the story. Obviously, people know about his Papa John's relationship, and he's a franchisee. I guess he owns a bunch of Budweiser distributorships as well. So he was plugging for himself there.
Yeah, he's done, though, right?
Be shocked if it was anything else. He's not going to play for Denver. tell you that. I mean, if he plays for the Los Angeles Rams.
I can't see it. I mean, why? Now's the perfect time to – it's not like he needs the money, for sure. I mean, his legacy, he's going in the hall. Time to get on with your life here, as far as I'm concerned. Did he need yesterday's Super Bowl?
I don't think it hurt him. I mean, just to be able to say the two rather than one, I think there's a big difference there. I mean, he was getting in the Hall of Fame and anything else. But if you want to have a conversation, I think, you know, you can make a pretty good argument that Peyton's the greatest regular season quarterback in NFL history. But postseason finishes 14-13. That second title made a big difference, I think. Even though we would look at the game and say, you know, he didn't win the game.
When you go back and look at, you know, here's one thing that kind of stuck out to me last night watching the post game and him keep going over his kind of his postseason. You know, really, you know, hadn't been great during the postseason as a whole throughout his career. You know, what does that tell you about needing a defense? You know, when it matters the most. I mean, and there's been some decent quarterbacks that haven't won Super Bowls, right? You know that didn't have. You know, great defenses. Now Dan did have some good defenses at times, though, right? The Killer Bees, and what was it along the lines when Marino was there?
Yeah. I mean, look, he had, you know, AJ Dewey and those guys, and
Baumhauer, and it just goes to show you that at some point, I think you're gonna, I think you need a defense. I mean, look at the St. Louis Rams. Against the Patriots in that Super Bowl several years ago, were they really known? I mean, the greatest show on turf, yeah. But when they really needed their defense the most, they didn't have it. Tampa Bay certainly was able to win a Super Bowl without a great quarterback, right? I mean, they had one of the most dominant defenses, if not the most dominant defense of the 2000s, right? Against the Raiders. You go back to the Carolina Panthers team that lost, in the 2004 Super Bowl to the Patriots. It just, I don't know. I just, at some point, I think defense still definitely has its part in the NFL is what I'm saying. I think it was never more evident than in Super Bowl 50.
Yeah, you know, they talk about all-time great defenses, and you obviously go back to the Steel Curtain, you go to the 85 Bears, you go to the Ravens in 2001, you know, that maybe this Broncos team took their spot along with some of those.
And when you look back at the Steelers' last Super Bowl loss to the Packers, you know, a few years ago, several years ago now, they didn't have the defense that they once had, you know. And that ended up costing them. You know, couldn't get after the quarterback, Aaron Rodgers, in that game. So the early odds, I know, have been kind of floating around out there. You know, futures are always kind of floating around out there. And the Steelers, depending on what you want to read, 8-1 to 12-1 to win Super Bowl 51. They need to address this defense in order for that to happen. You just can't expect them to go out there and put 30 points on the board every week, right?
Yep.
So you know, if they're going to be serious competitors to win their seventh Lombardi next year, they're going to have to do something on this defense. And I'll be interested to see it take place. That's for sure. You know, can you get somebody during free agency, and how quick can you get somebody from the draft to come in and get integrated into that defense? Almost, I mean, in today's NFL, you almost have to do that, right? I mean, the days of trying to give a guy a year and a half to get acclimated to these things in Pittsburgh are gone, right?
The dominating defense.
I'm just talking about, you know, with Dick LeBeau no longer in Pittsburgh now. You know, you draft guys, you get them on the field defensively.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's the way of the NFL these days. You get a chance. I mean, look, they got Bud Dupree got action at the start of the season, and he got more and more kind of, you know, and eventually ended up starting halfway through the season. That's the template. I mean, look, Sammy Coates, because you had a bunch of guys playing great football in front of him, didn't get on the field. But Sanquez Golson would have been on the field were he healthy. And, you know, Jesse James halfway through the season, he's getting on the field. By the end of the year, you're going to be on the field, which is why you look like at a guy like Marco Thomas and just say, well, it's been 3 years, he can't get on the field. Betting on that being able to happen going forward is that's a sucker's bet.
Can they win a Super Bowl with Dupree, Jarvis Jones, James Harrison, Moats, and Chickalow?
Shazier's going to have to be great. Timmons will have to continue to be really good, and they got to have, you know, good corner play. I mean, your two ends are really good. So can they do it? Sure, they can do it. But you know, they're going to need a lot of good players around them.
They're going to need more, yeah. You just hate to see that sack total of those outside linebackers be as low as it was, and especially when you consider that a handful of those came in mop-up time against the Colts, you know. So, man, it'd be nice if Jarvis Jones finally, you know, exceeded expectations, I guess would be the right word. And if for Dupree to take a step forward next season as well, too. All right, David, you got anything else? Emmanuel Sanders got his Super Bowl ring before Antonio Brown did. I'm sure Antonio's not going to like hearing about that all off season here. Jericho Cotchery, he's done, right?
I would think he's done. I mean, look, they're going to get Kelvin Benjamin back. I don't know if Cotchery has a role anywhere.
Anybody surprise you? Tony Dungy getting in. Did that surprise you?
Absolutely. I would say borderline shocked that it was Dungy and Kevin Green. I mean, look, Tony Dungy's a wonderful guy, and that's why he got in, and Kevin Green got in because of a number, 160. But, you know, in my mind, neither of those guys, you know, Bill Cowher's not a Hall of Fame guy. It didn't mean he wasn't a great coach. It's just I would put other guys in there first. Fanica, T.O., Don Coryell.
T.O. gets in next year?
Yeah, I would assume so.
You think Fanica gets in next year?
I think he probably does as well. I mean, Joe Jacoby didn't get in either, so you know, I don't know who goes first.
LaDainian Tomlinson will be eligible next year. He's getting in, right?
Yeah, I got to think eventually he'll get in. I don't know if he gets in on the first ballot.
Wow, you don't think LT2 gets in on the first ballot?
I have to go look at the numbers. I haven't looked at them.
Incredible numbers. Obviously, he doesn't have a Super Bowl win there, and he's got that against him. But kind of hard to see him not getting in. You're okay with Marvin getting in, obviously, Marvin Harrison. But, I mean, he had to wait. That was his third try, right?
Yeah, Marvin's a bad dude. I mean, there's no doubt about that. And that probably hurt him a bit. I mean, he's got a checkered past, to say the least, but in terms of what he did on the field, pretty darn good.
No way Hines Ward gets in first ballot, right?
Nope.
Second ballot?
Nope.
Third ballot?
Maybe.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think he's going to – look, if it took Marvin 3 years to get in, I mean, you could make a strong argument that Isaac Bruce needs to go in before Hines, right?
I mean Torrey Holt, Isaac Bruce. I mean, Moss is obviously going to be in. T.O. is going to be in. Hines is going to suffer like Jerome Bettis. These numbers that receivers are putting up are off the charts. And I, like we said the other last week, it's how much value to put on blocking and some of the other quote-unquote intangibles that Hines brought to the game, because he's not going to make it just on his receiving numbers.
One of the things he has going for him are those Super Bowl rings and that MVP. That will help his cause a little bit. But, you know, 5 years from now, are we talking about, man, will six time be the charm for Hines Ward?
Yeah, maybe.
You know, I think it's possible that's for sure, especially with all these guys coming up behind it. But I'm with you. I think Moss. Look, you're going to have to put Owens in first. You're going to have to put Moss in.
Well, Moss will be a first ballot guy when he hits, no doubt.
You know, and the thing is, though, he had less career catches than Hines Ward did.
Yeah.
Of course, he had a heck of a lot more yardage and touchdowns, right?
Right,
and,
right.
as well there. So I think Fanica will make it in either next year or the year after. Troy going to get in first ballot?
You know, he and Ed Reed are going to – if they're walking in at the same time, that's going to be really interesting, because I don't know in terms of when they announced their retirement versus when they last played on the field how that works. But, You know, both those guys are going to get in at some point. Who's ever on the ballot first, I assume, gets in first. They both deserve to be in, period.
Could you see a scenario could you see a scenario where one's waiting a year then, I guess?
Yeah, sure. But I wouldn't feel like one of them got really screwed over. They're both getting in.
Well, do guys like Lynch and who was the other safety?
Steve Atwater. I don't know. I mean, I don't even know which of those two guys I put in front of the other one. Maybe John Lynch by a hair. I mean, they're both great players.
Yeah, going to be definitely interesting for sure.
I might have picked John Lynch over Kevin Green.
Boy, those sacks, though, man. And even late in his career, I know it's a number, but, I mean, that's the number. I mean, the number is what got him in. I mean, his ability to get after the passer is why he's in. And even after he left Pittsburgh, man, go look at the amount of sacks that Kevin Green compiled after he left Pittsburgh. I mean, just incredible. It's fun to go back and look at those contracts too, right? He signed, when he came to the Steelers, 3 years, like what, 5.3 or five? I forget what it was exactly. 5.3 or $5.5 million contract. And I think, if memory serves me, I think a million and a half of that deal was a signing bonus for Kevin Green. So my, how things have changed. Can you imagine getting a Kevin Green type player for $5.5 million over 3 years nowadays? It just goes to show you how much this cap has escalated and player contract values have gone along with it there too.
I want to ask you one more game thing. Did you think they blew the call before the touchdown on Cautry's catch? Do you think it was a catch?
I thought it was a catch.
I thought it was a catch too. It was a huge play in the game. I felt like Carolina got the worst of the calls.
I thought it was a catch. I mean, even slowing that thing down, Mike Carey, not that it means anything, but Mike Carey thought it was a catch.
He didn't get back on the broadcast, and Pro Football Focus debated whether they pulled him and just said, look, you know, we're not going to subject anybody else to this anymore.
The guy, you know, somebody had an interview with him, I think, down at the Super Bowl, saying he knows he's the butt of all these jokes and all, you know. Man, it sure doesn't look good for the league, though, if he's a former NFL referee and he can't get these things right, right?
Yeah.
I mean, what does that tell you about, you know, about is the league over-officiated right now?
Yeah, of course it is. I mean, it's a mess. They got to figure it out.
And the competent, Art Rooney II said as much a couple weeks ago when he talked to the media. They have to decide. They have to make it easier on these guys to decide what a catch is, what isn't a catch. It was absolutely a shame. What about the missed sack on Peyton, and Ron Rivera having to use a challenge on that?
He was some kind of fired up about that one.
And it's one of those things where
you didn't need a hand signer to read that one.
Yeah, and it's one of those things, you damned if you do and damned if you don't about challenging it, right?
You got to challenge it, even though.
I mean, you're out of challenges after that, and what'd you gain? Seven yards on the sack by that way, but they have to do something about this. I think what do you think? If a coach wins a challenge, he should never lose credit for that challenge.
Yeah, I'm with you. You know, if you get it right, you shouldn't lose it.
Right, you should not be penalized for getting them to make the right calls, in my view. So they got to decide about that. They got to decide about what's a headshot defenseless receiver, all like that. What did you think about the commissioner saying that two personal fouls?
Oh, I like that. Depending on what we're calling. I mean, if it's a face mask, I don't know. I mean, but personal foul and sportsmanlike conduct, for sure, two of those. Celebration penalty, I'm a little bit more leeway on that. But conceptually, I like the idea. You know where I'm going with it.
Yeah, Aqib Talib would have been out of that game yesterday.
You felt like the powder keg might blow with him. I was, you know, waiting for one more dumb thing.
Yeah, he could have went off big time, that's for sure. I'm just not a big fan. Look, he's a good player. Just sometimes I don't think he gets the calls against him that he should get He did have quite a bit of calls, I think, against him this year, though. It just none of them seemed to come against when they played the Steelers, that's for sure. All right, well, we'll have plenty more to talk about moving forward here. What do you think about getting Dave T on here pretty soon?
Yeah, you know, I don't know. We'll definitely do that here in the next couple of weeks, figure that out. We want to do Thursday or Friday? What are we doing?
I don't know. We'll give somebody – being as how I might get Alex on Wednesdays moving forward, why don't we kind of shoot for Friday this week? That'll give us a lot to happen between now and the weekend here, and who knows, maybe we'll be able to – I got an email from Dave T just the other day. Maybe we can get him lined up for Friday. What do you think?
Okay, sounds good.
All right, folks, you can follow me on Twitter at Steelers Depot. Follow David Todd on Twitter at David M. Todd. Follow the show at Terrible Podcast. Email the show, theterriblepodcast@gmail.com. If you feel like donating to the show, you can do so, SteelersDepot.com. Upper right-hand corner is the donate button. Well, that'll put a wrap on the 2015-2016 season. So full speed ahead into the offseason here. David, have a good day and get us out of here.
As always, thanks for listening to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave.